This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany and Ashley Docking here with you, as always, to break down the week that just passed and set you up for week 10. Chris, Brandon Marion Lee joins us from Pro Football Focus. We are cruising the waiver wire in just a little while. And then, as per tradition, targets and touches leaders. Are these numbers sustainable for some of these guys? Are they a flash in the pan? Or can we expect these numbers from someone like Lance Kendricks going forward? But we're going to get to that a little bit later. First and foremost, the Raiders beating the defending Super Bowl champions. Chris,
how about
real?
The Oakland Raiders?
How about those Oakland Raiders?
They looked
Raiders?
Pretty impressive last night. Everyone's counting them out. You know, they're playing Denver, the Super Bowl champs. The defense has been phenomenal. And who cares? But Oakland gets it done. They have 7 wins this year. The most is the Patriots and the Cowboys. Do I think they're as good as those teams? Absolutely not. But the offense is rolling. It passed another test yesterday. You can't run on this team. Well, guess what? Latavius Murray was able to run on the team. 3 touchdowns. That was the first time they had allowed a 100-yard rusher in a long time. So, I mean, good on Oakland for getting this done. And Drew Livingstone, fan of the show, gives me a little tidbit. Here. Last 20 games for the Green Bay Packers, 9-11, 4-5 at Lambeau, 2 wins worse than the Oakland Raiders, 3 300-yard passing games from Aaron Rodgers over the last 2 years. The Cleveland Browns, as a team, have 3 300-yard passing games in the last 20 games as well. So
you're saying
here we are,
that
halfway through the season. We're talking more about the Raiders and less about the Green Bay Packers.
And more about the Cleveland Browns.
And more about the Cleveland Browns, who are still winless, by the way.
Well, that's hard to do.
Yeah.
To go winless the entire season. That would be an impressive feat in itself.
Do you think that will happen?
Yeah. I don't want to say
trying to give some credit, but
it's hard to lose all your games.
That's
and they had a few
really
close
tough.
Ones.
Yeah.
But they're the Cleveland Browns.
They are.
I mean, what do you want? Yeah. All right, coming up tonight, Monday Night Football, LeSean McCoy is taking on Seattle, I guess, because essentially he's a huge part of the Bills' offense. We saw him go down with a hamstring injury, but word is that he is back, he is healthy, and he is going to play. We know hamstrings can be fickle. What do you think about this decision? Because they said if he's playing, he's going full blast. They're not holding him back at all. He should expect a full workload.
I want to assume that he's 100% healthy, and I want to assume that the Bills know about his health, but I can't assume that, and I just... I'm going to say that LeSean McCoy has a decent day today. It's a tough matchup against Seattle, but I think he actually is fully healthy. And that would be just tough news for him to have another setback and then miss another couple games. And then we can sit here and talk about Rex Ryan definitely losing his job. But for LeSean McCoy, you have him. You waited this out. 6 teams are on bye. You want to play him. So you play him. For whatever reason, if he's not a scratch, if Gillis Lee's around, if you're in a tough pinch, maybe you can go Reggie Bush. But you have to be in a real tough pitch. Actually, I would go CJ Procise over Reggie Bush and Gillis Lee. I suppose Gillis Lee over, you know, CJ if McCoy doesn't play, but I expect him to play. Procise might be a guy that you want to pick up, even though it's like a three-headed monster. It's kind of happening in Seattle, but he's starting to get a little bit more play.
And just for the Bills, Seattle has allowed consecutive 100-yard rush games to David Johnson, obviously, but Tim Hightower, very, very inefficient, but still got to the 100-yard mark. So that's good news for anyone that starts against Seattle. Their defense may be a little bit more leaky than usual. Cam Chancellor didn't play those 2 games, and obviously that has a big impact on their defense. Huge
impact. Yeah, you mentioned Tim Hightower. We'll get to him in a little bit with targets and touches. But let's talk about some injuries. Not a whole lot, really, to deal with. Jeremy Maclin, much like LeSean McCoy, a former teammate. They were former teammates, each other in Philadelphia. Maybe they're, I don't know, talking about the same stuff, about trying to play
they're
through
cursed.
Injuries because
maybe
there was no
cursed.
Reason. KC sat out Alex Smith yesterday. Obviously, Spencer Ware he didn't play because of a concussion. Mm-hmm. And you got Jeremy Maclin, who's trying to play, even though he didn't practice all week with a groin strain. He re-injures that, so now he's at least sidelined, you know, for the next few days. We're live here, so we don't know a lot what's going to happen. A lot of these guys we're going to talk about in the next couple minutes are scheduled
like
for
a
MRIs. It does. So he's scheduled for one. Interesting to see what happens with him. I mean, Tyreek Hill is not a guy that I think people should go rush to the waiver wire, but he's somebody just to keep an eye on. He's been heavily involved in the offense. 11 targets, 8 receptions the last couple weeks. He's got two touchdowns in his last 3, 100-plus yards. So this is a guy that they use a lot in, like, wheel routes. He runs from side to side, the ball to him in space. He can make things happen. So he's very, very interesting. But also, this is a team that really just kind of checks down a lot.
Yeah.
They don't throw. They don't take shots downfield. Jeremy Maclin is not droppable, but he's certainly not startable.
I'm just glad I don't have to start him.
Maclin, you
crazy. I didn't actually start him this week, thank goodness, because I knew he was questionable. But Tyreek Hill, 2 rushes for 21 yards. So what's the deal with these hybrid wide receiver running backs in the Ty Montgomery vein? Yeah. It seems as though they're following suit with Hill there. Let's talk about Derrick Henry. He was injured.
Yeah, he didn't even play.
He got this big shot. Okay, so DeMarco Murray has a toe injury. They're not sure the usage that they're going to have. So now we're seeing Derrick Henry. Maybe this is his breakout game. Maybe he can get a shot and just secure at least a few carries a game. No.
Nope.
Doesn't even get to start. Hurts his calf pregame. Going for an MRI today. We're going to see his status, as Chris mentioned. We are live, so we're not sure of the results of the MRI he will be taking. But this is just so disappointing. 16 carries for 60 yards in week 8 against Jacksonville, and then primed for a pretty big day and does nothing. Yeah. I mean, Murray only took the ball 14 times.
Yeah, he found the end zone late. Other than that, he was struggling all game.
That's his lowest carry total since week 2. So it was a perfect opportunity. So people who had Henry as a handcuff, probably a little upset today.
Yeah, you're right, Ashley. It was a perfect opportunity for him. I thought he was a top 20 back. I thought you could play both of them this week. And unfortunately, you know, if you did play him, as Ashley said, he didn't touch the football field when the game started. So if anyone decides to drop him, even if he's going to miss a couple weeks, I still think people should pick him up. He's a great handcuff for a team that wants to run the ball. And Marcus Mariota has been a top 5 quarterback, not only like for the year, but like past 4 weeks, he's been unbelievable. QB1 this past week, so making things happen in that offense lately. Let's roll through a couple other injuries. Ryan Fitzpatrick, not as good as Marcus Mariota, that's for sure.
But
sprained his knee. Okay, we'll give him a benefit of the doubt. Sprained his knee. I'm not going to yell at you like Gabe Morency. You didn't ruin my Sunday. But Fitzpatrick will probably ruin whatever hopes you have for Brandon Marshall if he's sidelined. I mean, Brandon Marshall and Fitzpatrick not on the same page. Marshall, 9 targets 6 times this year, has only had one game with at least 6 catches, so that's really tough. Bryce Petty came in 2 for 2, 14 yards or 19 yards rather. It's not a great situation. I thought that Brandon Marshall was a nice buy low candidate. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he is. I don't think I would want him on my roster. Just keep an eye on this Fitzpatrick thing, because Marshall is probably going to be the best that he can be with Fitzpatrick, and if he's not throwing the ball to him, then that's not good.
And they might actually just give Petty a chance. They're 26 in passing yards per game, so it can't really get much. Well, it can get worse, but not much worse. Not much worse than 13 interceptions. Congratulations, Fitzpatrick. You lead the league in the stat category. Yeah. Good for you. All right, Chris, we're going to switch gears to the NHL now, and I want to know your 4 plays. So teams that have 4 games during the week. We're going to start with Louis Erickson, and this one is kind of tricky. It's very situational. Obviously, he plays for a terrible team, and unlike the NBA, you don't want guys on terrible teams because the opportunity isn't there like it is in basketball. But you're saying that there still could be a chance for some potential with him this week, even though Vancouver is struggling mightily.
Yeah, if you're into just using the most out of your moves, maximizing those 4 moves, then, I mean, Louis Erickson can be something where, as you said, Ashley, I mean, this team is not very good. 20 goals in the season, that's dead last. 35 behind the league-leading New York Rangers, who are first in goals for per game and goals on the season. So Louis Erickson, not great. Not playing with the Sedins, but Yannick Hansen did land on the IR, so he could find himself back with the Sedins. I mean, keep an eye on that. But if you're in leagues with hits, Pims, shots on goal, I mean, certainly you could just cut your ties with this guy. If you're looking for a left winger, maybe Nick Foligno is a guy certainly that can help you out. But you're right, Ashley, only 4 points, -4, not great. I'm just going to roll through a couple other guys. Nick Ehlers is a guy who's playing for the Jets. The Jets play 4 times this week. He had a 4-point night on Friday. He's got 5 points in the last 2 games. Obviously, that 4-point night was huge. But +4. The ice time is up with Ehlers, you know, playing a little bit with Shifley. It was Laine who was playing with Shifley and Wheeler, and now they're trying Ehlers on this line, and that's the most that you're going to get from Ehlers is if he plays with those 2 forwards in Shifley and Wheeler. But yeah, he's somebody that you can certainly pick up. You can play on left and right. And then Ryan Spooner is not fantastic. David Krejci is a guy I would pick up, and David Backes ahead of them if they're available. But if you're really looking for those 4 games, Bruins play 5 times this week, more than anybody in hockey. So if you want to get the most out of your moves, Spooner's on that line. He could help you out. And then Seth Jones, a significant injury for him. Not good news.
Hairline fracture. The Columbus Blue Jackets Twitter account announcing that Seth Jones will be out for at least 3 weeks. He's been put on the IR with a hairline fracture in his foot. He had 6 points through 10 games, so a big loss, but clearly someone that you're going to hang on to regardless.
Yeah, and a couple goals he scored against Montreal when they put in 10 on Al Montoya on Friday.
Everyone scored against Montreal. That was such a sad, sad night.
If you're looking for a replacement, though, Zach Werenski for the Columbus Blue Jackets could really help
Morenci?
You out.
Gabe's brother?
No, Werenski. Yeah, not Morenci. 10 points on the season, 5 on the power play, and he's available in some leagues, too.
Well, coming up next, hopefully our lines will be available when Brandon Marion Lee gives us a shout. We're cruising the waiver wire with the Pro Football Focus expert after this. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're welcoming on Brandon Marion Lee from Pro Football Focus to hit the waiver wire. And as we talked about a little bit at the beginning of the show, there weren't that many significant injuries. No. So people might not have to be making as many waiver wire moves as they had in the past. Yeah. But because there are so many teams on buys, a lot of rosters are doing a lot of shuffling. So we're going to talk about some guys that people may have forgotten about left on the waiver wire. And now's your opportunity to pick them up. So we welcome in Brandon right now. How's it going?
Great, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing good. I don't want to echo Ashley, but she's right. There weren't really a lot of significant injuries. But one thing I did notice, Brendan, in watching the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants, Rashad Jennings did out-snap Phil Perkins. Mm-hmm. But Perkins was on the field, especially in the fourth quarter. They were giving him the ball. We know he's a rookie. He hasn't really done much this season. My question to you is, do you think he is the best running back that New York has? And do you think his role will increase enough that you can start him in fantasy in these, I guess, the second half of the fantasy season?
Oh, well, yes and no. I think that all of us are in a position right now where we have to take stock of our teams. First of all, are we going to the playoffs? Are we fighting for the playoffs? Those are two very different places to be. So Paul Perkins is a nice stash for a maybe breakthrough. But the thing is that, you know, Paul Perkins played 22 snaps. That is a high for him. His former high was 15. Rashad Jennings played in 37 of the team's 64 offensive snaps, which is 57.8% of the time. Now you think, oh, that's only half the time. That can't be that great. Well, he's only been playing in 48.6% the rest of the season. So actually, his snap count didn't go down at all. And frankly, according to Pro Football Focus, Rashad Jennings is the best pass blocker in the league right now. That's why they have him on the field. This is about game plan specific type of snap allotment. So Paul Perkins has, like a lot of rookies, a lot of work to do on pass protection. So that's what's going to be holding him back. He was only marginally more productive. They both caught all three of their targets. It was Jennings for 13 yards, Paul Perkins for 15, and then both of them carried the ball 11 times, Jennings for 26, Perkins for 32. It's just so marginally better. I'm not quite sure he earned that much more playing time.
Brendan, you make a really good point, because in that football game, you know, when the Giants were trying to run out the clock, they went to Perkins in the first two carries, and then when they wanted to throw the ball on third and eight, they brought in Rashard Jennings to pass block, of course, and then that's what happened.
I wanted go ahead.
No, I just saying, yeah. I mean, there's just no way to get around that. I mean, he has an 85.8 grade on Pro Football Focus. That is the highest, again, in the league right now.
Yeah, for a team that wants to pass the ball.
Sometimes I like to play either or. Yeah. It can be fun sometimes, but sometimes when you're put in a position, especially trying to grab someone off the waiver wires, you're not sure where to go. So Rob Kelly's an interesting situation. Matt Jones out. They're coming out of a bye week, but they're taking on the Vikings. In fact, three of their next four games are against top 10 run defenses. So when you're looking at prioritizing waiver wire, you just talked about the benefits and also the hindrances of Perkins, but do you prefer someone like him who has that breakout potential, or someone like Kelly who's going to get the volume but is up against it coming up in the next few weeks?
That's a great either or, because the thing is, to have either of those guys on your rosters right now, you need to be playoff bound with starters that you can play in the meantime. Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't play either of them over the next 3 weeks.
Okay.
So you're looking at possible playoff fill-ins if something, God forbid, were to happen to your running backs that got you to the dance, right? They are not people that I'm picking up hoping that they're going to score me points over the next 3 weeks. I think that this is going to be a transitional time for both of them. I would rather have Paul Perkins, because I still think that this is going to be a timeshare situation for Washington regardless. There's a possibility that Perkins could become the bell cow. And certainly Rashad Jennings' health has been up and down. Matt Jones' injury is probably coming to a close and he's going to be back. And I think at the best case scenario, they're in a share situation. In a worst case scenario, Chris Thompson all of a sudden comes back and starts catching passes. And by the way, it's, again, like you said, terrible matchups. So unfortunately, it's difficult to say that I want either of them. If I had to play one next week, I would have to wait to see what happens with Matt Jones's injury situation, but Rob Kelly would be my guy unless we find out that something happened to Rashad Jennings, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
Paul Perkins and Rob Kelly, the 3 a.m. booty calls of the NFL, the last resort.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta really, or they're like the people that you have as like backup. You're like, well, if this doesn't work out, there was that nice person that I'll call later. That's kind of where I kind of see them. Like, maybe in week 13, something crazy happens, I'll be glad that they're still my friend. Let's put it that way.
Let's continue just the running back theme, and we are really digging deep here, but certainly I know there's a lot of people out there with some injuries. You know what? James White and Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis, you know, maybe he's going to return this week. I want to know if you think he's a good stash. Of course, you're touching on context. I mean, where are you in the standings? If you're sitting comfortable, maybe Deion Lewis is a much better ad than if you really need a win this week and next week. But do you see him, you know, playing to his potential that he played with last year? And how does this affect James White?
I don't love him against the Seattle Seahawks, but if they start Deion Lewis at San Francisco, I'm salivating. So I would rather have Deion Lewis over the other two people. James White has kind of been streaky. Let's be nice and say that. And then LeGarrette Blount is definitely going to be the ball carrier, running the ball, goal line carries, what have you. So there is a bit of a ceiling to Deion Lewis, but Deion Lewis was such a dynamic player in the 5 weeks that he was able to fully participate last season. So there's just so much potential there. Whereas we're just seeing a lot of pedestrian numbers out of Perkins, and Rob Kelly was fine, but they have so many backs. So to me, I think Deion Lewis would be kind of like a funky plug and play in good matchups. Now, unfortunately, then they're at the Jets, then the Rams, Baltimore, and then at Denver. So Denver, obviously, you can run on, so that's fine, and that would be in week 15. But then they have the Jets again in week 16. So the Jets kind of decide when they're going to show up and stop the run and when they're not. So I think that that's actually kind of tough. In fact, I would pick up Deion Lewis. If he breaks out, try to get him traded before the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Get some value.
Yeah,
I like it. Marquise Lee's been very valuable to some people who took a flyer on him, stashed him in their lineup, but he's been seeing that volume recently. 8 targets, 4 receptions, but a big 84 yards, a team high. He's only owned in 3.3% of leagues on ESPN.
And Allen Hurns suffered a concussion.
And Allen Hurns has the concussion, but I want to know, do you trust him who seems to be right now getting that steady volume, or would you prefer someone like Sammy Coates who has that big game potential? His targets have been off, though. Weeks 4 and 5, 19. Weeks 7 and 9, just 6 targets. So where do you stand on that in terms of safety, security blanket, and then the big playability, as we like to say?
Oh, I really wish Big Ben would have sat out this week.
Yeah, no kidding.
He looked so hobbled. I felt for him. I just thought, there's no way this game is going to end well. He just, you know, when he would get done, he'd kind of do a hop on one side, favoring that knee. I hate seeing things like that. So I think that Sammy Coates' production is directly tied to whether or not Big Ben is healthy. Now, perhaps next week we're going to get a better performance out of Big Ben. Now, obviously, Sammy Coates and that horrible, horrible drop in the end zone is going to make him probably dropped in like 50% of leagues this week. They're going to be like, I don't want anything to do with this guy. But we kind of knew that with Sammy Coates going in, right? He's big play or big drops. No in between. He is never going to give you satisfactory anything. So, of course, the 0 catches last week with 5 targets was just despicable. So, you know, I just think that if it's me and it's next week and Allen Hurns does not get through concussion protocol, I actually am interested in Marquise Lee. Again, though, the Jacksonville Jaguars offense, what a disaster. But in the fourth quarter, they get so many garbage points. Every single week. It's embarrassing. Every time I rank Blake Bortles, I'm embarrassed with how high I rank him, but I've yet to be wrong on that. He always produces in the fourth quarter. They will never win a football game, though. It's unbelievable. No, I'm just kidding. They do win some games. But, you know, listen, he is averaging 4.2 catches per game with or without Allen Hurns on the field. He's yet to score a touchdown, but I think that if Hurns was out, I think they would make a point of trying to get him in the end zone because they would like him to be more involved. But let's be honest, the entire offense has been sputtering. So Lee actually is doing pretty well considering the circumstance.
It's all about taking the risks or just, like you said,
risk
the
reward.
Safety blanket. Yeah. I mean, I think Eli Rogers is in that conversation too. I'm all about taking the risk with Sammy Coates. Brandon, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you. Enjoy the football, and let's do this again before the season wraps up.
Thanks. Have a great week.
Bye,
take
you
care.
Too. All right, I love that. That was good. Pro Football Focus. You can check out all of Brandon Marion Lee's stuff, plus all the folks over there are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Chris
good
and
stuff.
I are going to try and follow that up. I don't know how we're going to do, but we got targets and touches coming up next on FSD. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Time for our weekly Targets and Touches segment. We're going to jump right into it, starting with the top targets of the week. Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs. Concussion protocol, no?
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson, Golden Tate, Lance Kendricks, Brown Sanders, Julio Jones, Allen Robinson. Concussion protocol, no?
No, he's good.
Oh, Hearns.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And Robinson just gets headaches because Bortles so bad.
And then Rashard Matthews. We're going to start with Stephon Diggs off the top. 14 targets.
Yeah, just interesting for me, you know, with the 14 targets, 13 catches, new offensive coordinator in town, Pat Shurmur, from tight end to offensive coordinator. And you know what? I just noticed that, Sam Bradford got rid of the ball quickly a lot. I mean, Diggs is not available in your waiver wire, but he had a couple good weeks to start the season. Then he got hurt and he was quiet. Minnesota hasn't been able to do anything, but I noticed Sam Bradford trying to get rid of the ball quickly, short passes to Diggs. So going forward, I think this guy is going to have some value in PPR leagues. That's all.
Lance Kendricks on there, and we did talk about him yesterday
all week.
But we talked about him yesterday too. I wasn't here on Sunday. But the thing about him is that you have to be looking at these matchups. So going forward, I don't know how I feel about him against the Jets. The Jets have been sneakily good against tight ends. They've only given up 2 touchdowns and 86 fantasy points in standard leagues over the entire season for the Jets. So Lance Kendricks, someone definitely to consider when you're doing your streaming options. But for me, next week, I think there's other options, but you have a theory that you're done with these experienced quarterbacks and tight end combinations.
Well, it's interesting because this week, on Fantasy Footballers, we were talking a lot about the tight end position. They're like, oh, do we have to talk about this? With no Gronk, Reed, Miller, Eifert all on byes, 11 different tight ends found the end zone this week. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were just mediocre tight ends. So Kendricks, 29 targets in his last 3. Case Keenum, struggling, looking for a safety valve. He's got one there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brock Osweiler in Houston, looking for a safety valve. He's got one there in CJ Fedorowicz, who is on bye, who I think is startable. Some of these guys like Gary Barnage, with Corey Coleman back and with Pryor getting a lot of the targets, I would cut my ties with Barnage. I would cut my ties with Dennis Pitta. I mean, this guy's got a ton of targets. He's not finding the end zone. Steve Smith is back in that offense, and Flacco's taking shots downfield. So some of these bigger name tight ends, I think I would go to some of these lesser name ones that we can talk about. So yeah, sure. I mean, Kendricks is not great, but I like CJ Fedorowicz. He's not bad.
Oh, I like his name.
Also, but quickly, just Rashard Matthews is there too. We wanted to get on touches, but Rashard Matthews certainly is somebody that we should talk about. This is a guy who's he's finding the end zone here. What do I got here? He's got 3 touchdowns. He's got 5 touchdowns in the last few weeks. So 5 touchdowns in the season. Marcus Mariota's been fantastic of late. He's got a nice schedule coming up. They got the Colts. They got the Chargers. So just keep an eye on Rashard Matthews. He seems to be the one who's getting more work than Kendall Wright.
All right, well, let's look quickly at our touches, our top 10 guys here on the board. And we want to talk mostly about Tim Hightower. Well, at least I do. Jay Ajayi, by the way, congratulations, sir. Your 3rd game in a row. Very, very impressive.
Yeah,
but Hightower,
impressive.
23 carries, 87 yards, and a touchdown. But we said him and Ingram were both startable because San Fran is so horrendous covering the run game. Ingram, 15 carries, 158 yards, 1 rushing score, and 1 receiving score. For me, they've both been fairly inefficient.
Yeah.
Although a really, really great game for Ingram. I think Hightower his value has lessened now because Ingram had that big bounce back game. We talked about him being demoted, Ingram, because of his fumble problems.
Yeah.
But he came back and he was mad. You could see
he was
running
mad.
With vengeance.
Did you
and
hear him cursing and swearing on the sidelines?
No.
Yeah, he was cursing and swearing on the
How
sidelines.
How did you hear him?
I don't know, NFL Network was posted, I think, a tweet I saw, and it was a lot of the mics picked it up, and it wasn't good. And then they got rid of that really quick. Only 30 seconds. I like your point on Hightower for sure. Give the ball to Ingram. It's a tough matchup against Denver, but Latavius Murray was okay. It's just hard to trust now going forward which guy, but that was a great matchup. David Johnson has San Fran next. Chris Ivory, though, a guy who finally showed up. I dropped him yesterday before that game. He almost had a touchdown. He wasn't startable to me because I already had 4 backs that I liked, but Ivory is a guy I guess you can pick up if you're in a pinch. 33% ownership in Yahoo, but that offensive line sucks.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Cheers.